This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This week, Cheryl,
yeah,
is a documentary. We cover one.
We cover a lot of stuff in this. We have a guest star.
Yes, a surprise to some.
And some will have seen it coming.
Yeah. Let's just get into it.
Okay, yeah. Let's get into it. Ladies and jerks, welcome to Inventing David Geffen.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story.
Hi, Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Tig Notaro. How's it going?
I'm doing all right, you know.
You're on the road.
I'm on the road. Things happen. Mm-hmm. Check into my hotel room. It floods right when I walk in. But we don't have to go into it like the last episode. What I'd like to tell you, and the person here at this hotel chain, very rude. I've been with them loyally for a decade or more?
Yeah.
Always. I think I'm done with them. Okay. Same hotel chain when I was locked in a bathroom. This time
flooding and they're
flooding
like,
and just like, please stop bothering me. But anyway, I'll have you know I'm in your home state.
I love that you're in Florida. I wish I were there. I am still in Puerto Rico. And if it makes you feel any better, which I love it when people say that, like, oh, you think you've got it bad. How about this? I don't know why it would make you feel better to know that just the other night, 2-3 in the morning, really hungry, opened a granola bar, started.
Oh, I feel really like this has happened to me.
And I was actually talking to Dr. Becky Hines at the time. I was like, there are bugs all over my bed. And then I go, nope, not on my bed. It's not. I'm going to throw up. Oh, I don't know how it happened. I don't know why.
I do. I can tell you because it's happened to me before.
What? How? What?
I ate one of those, not a granola bar, but another kind of bar. Okay. And were they little like black flies?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They got in there in packaging. And something laid an egg.
Has to be, right? Yeah. That has to be what happened because it was a sealed. And I'm telling you, I was free. And my sister's like, what's going on? What's going on? I'm like, I can't talk.
It is rough stuff.
It is.
And how is your head when you're realizing you've died, you've swallowed some?
It was not cute. And it was in the middle of the night and I had to get up the next day and, you know, keep shooting because I'm on a schedule. So it's like,
well, you were tapped for that project and you have to follow through.
I've been tapped for the project.
Question.
Yeah.
Did you struggle Like, are you, did it scar you? Because I had a friend over and I offered her one of the bars and we were both having a bar and I had to watch my guest ingest and swat bugs off of the bar.
I mean, it's funny now. In the moment, it's not hilarious.
Yeah, because to me, it's, I've found a roach in my dinner before at a restaurant. Yeah. And then I'm like, and I can't move on psychologically for a while.
Yeah.
I'm not just like, I'm just going to move the roach over and then, you know, like I could in my childhood days.
You know what? I talked to my husband after and he's like, a lot of people eat bugs all the time. You're going to be fine. I'm like, well, I wish there was more outrage in your voice, but okay. So it was like, okay, yeah, I've watched Survivor and they look for bugs to eat. So it's like, but it was a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Will I ever eat that particular bar? No. No, I won't.
Do you want to mention the brand, see if you can get an endorsement?
And I will tell you this. I will really look at stuff before I eat it first.
Well, why don't you?
Well, I just assumed. Yeah, that's what I was so hungry.
Okay.
Tig, can I tell you about a special guest that we have today?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I'm in Puerto Rico, and I'm with a really good friend, also a good friend of yours, and I was like, oh, I already mentioned her last week.
Well, some people maybe didn't hear last week's episode. Some people are tuning in for the very first time.
Well, I would like all of our listeners to welcome. Do I need
gather
to
around.
Give,
gather
give
around.
Your credits? She has so many. I'll just do the highlights. Sister.
Sequest DSV. Sequest DSV.
DSV when she had a baby out of her back.
Oh, that was Star Trek Voyager.
Star Trek Voyager. Oh, you and Tig will have a lot to talk about.
I pushed a baby out my back.
Out of her back.
Like I pushed it up my butt.
Yep. Okay. And you actually might see her now on Lucifer, but please welcome
Hangover.
Rachel Harris.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Rachel. Hey.
Hey.
Rachel, are you familiar with our show?
I am.
You've heard it before?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan.
Okay, so you guys, I think we should just get to it.
Okay, let's do it. We don't need to know anything about me.
We do have a lot. We have a lot to talk about.
Well, you're both in
Puerto Rico.
Yeah, filming this. Yeah.
Oh, God. I love that she just was like, it's a huge reveal, man.
Did you know that we called Jean Triplehorn?
Wait, you can't say we. This is my old joke from years ago, Cheryl.
Did you know? Oh, I thought that we thought it up together.
No.
Do you know how Tig pronounces Jean Triplehorn?
No.
Hit it.
Jean. Do, do, do.
No. I thought you changed it to Jean.
Oh, Jean. Puff. Yeah.
It's a triple horn, right?
Yeah.
And is it Jean Thripple? I thought it was. Honest to God, I thought it was Jeannie Thripplehorn.
It's not.
But is it spelled TR?
I don't think so. No way to know. And there is no way to know.
Isn't she well known?
Thomas.
Yeah.
Can you verify if
she's an actress? But wait a minute. Before he verifies anything, she's an actress. I know about Tommy Lee Jones, that you thought it was Pam.
Wait, do you only listen to our clips online or do you listen to the show?
Rachel, no, it's Triplehorn.
It's Triplehorn. Okay.
But are you having fun in Puerto Rico?
Doing our secret project?
Fafa?
We can't announce it yet because that hasn't been announced.
Are you having fun doing Fafa?
Yeah.
Highs and lows.
Mm-hmm. Highs and lows.
Highs and lows.
And wait, Cheryl, when did you eat the bug bar?
3 nights ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She's had no problems.
She's kind of a beast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys.
Iron gut.
Today we're talking about inventing David Geffen. Mm-hmm. That was a real gasp.
Well, it's an exciting episode.
By the way, I really did like this documentary. Okay. Inventing David Geffen is a 2021 documentary directed by Susan Lacey. It tells the story of billionaire entertainment magnate.
Take your time.
I'm going to say Magneta. David Geffen, who originated from a working class background in Brooklyn and ended up one of Hollywood's most accomplished power brokers, inventing David Beckham.
Oh, my God.
And David Gessen's going to cancel it.
Cheryl, why don't you go lie down?
I don't want any part of this.
Why don't you go lie down?
This is going to be a long...
Inventing David Beckham?
He played a lot of soccer.
What if I watched the wrong documentary? Inventing David Geffen, which is dangerously close to Beckham.
Not
Inventing
really.
David Geffen. Was produced by PBS and is available to watch on Netflix. That wasn't easy.
Well, that is the end of our show. That's all we have time for today.
Are we recording?
Yes. Okay. We're doing just a podcast.
I'm like, you are.
What, you think we're just getting together and Zooming?
Cheryl, I didn't want to tell you this, Tig. Cheryl is drunk. We had some pina coladas.
Wait, did you really?
No.
Yeah,
but I
wish. We didn't.
No, yesterday. We did yesterday.
Oh, well, I know, but it's a new day.
Yeah, they don't last that long.
No. They shouldn't. For me, they would. I'm a lightweight.
Okay, David Geffen. I learned a lot about David Geffen. Did you?
Of course, yeah.
Did you know any of this stuff?
Yeah, I've known some of it. I have followed, I mean, so many of those bands. But I'm also, I used to work in the music business before I got into
comedy. Let's not jump ahead and spill beans.
Oh, I'm sorry I told everyone that he works in the music business.
I feel like you're about to launch into...
No, I was just going to say, I'm very aware because I used to, you know, have...
Hang out.
Well, not just hang out, but have an awareness of record labels,
braggadocious alert,
producers.
Somebody knows her music.
You know, important dates in music. Go ahead, Rachel.
I can't believe you guys actually get through talking about.
We don't.
Yeah, and if you are a new listener, or if you're David Geffen,
or if you're David Beckham,
or if you're one of the Spice Girls listening, whoever you are, if you tuned in for some hard-hitting documentary information, turn the channel.
Turn it off.
Yes.
David Geffen says that everybody invents themselves. The difference is that some people have more imagination than others.
I liked that.
That we're all like, well, we're all like escaping something. Like he was like, I left Brooklyn when he was right out of high school. And I can relate. I can relate to that. And I think a lot of people that go into entertainment are kind of looking outside their where they live and that they want something else.
Yeah, yeah. The idea down the road, down the line, what are you going to be? Who are you going to... What are you going to do?
I know. And to be able to say, here's what I'm going to do, because my imagination is so great, I can tell you what I'm going to do.
And taste. Really
great
taste. And I think that's so key to so many elements of life, relationships, art, work, to have taste, to have the right taste.
Yeah.
You know?
But
I mean,
I was just laughing at my own taste in relationships, but that's a whole other podcast.
Oh, that's a different. We don't have time.
But to go back to taste, how attractive is it, Rachel, when you meet somebody and you sit in that moment of like, oh, they have really good taste. Like, how attractive is that?
It's very attractive.
When somebody has good taste.
Yeah. Yeah. David Geffen is, what's the word, dyslexic, which I thought was interesting. So he always felt sort of stupid growing up because he said that something like dyslexic back then was like calling somebody dumb.
Yeah.
And that's how he grew up. And clearly he's a very, very smart person.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this documentary, there are a lot of famous people trying to describe David Geffen in one word.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you know, brilliant, bold, brutally honest, unafraid, funny, neurotic. And this was one of my favorites.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
David Geffen in three words. Constantly, ruthlessly honest.
Very giftedly non-diplomatic. Balls. One word.
I want to be described as balls. If somebody said, can you describe Cheryl in one word? And somebody said, balls. I'd be like, oh, I just made it.
And do you feel like that describes you, is balls? Because if you feel that way.
Right.
If somebody, if, and it hasn't happened yet, but if somebody asked me to describe you.
Yeah. Do you, do I want you to say balls?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
But also, why are balls the definition of somebody who's a badass? I don't think balls are hot.
Oh, we talked about skirt like
lesbian alert. Lesbian alert.
Yeah, I know. Right?
Balls are not that sexy?
No, they're not. I like them.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Like, I like
this
balls.
This is the beginning of
but
our
But that's the true test is if, what if do you like someone. What do you like about balls? If you're, well, if you, that's exactly my point.
Oh, she's going to say
it. If you like someone
and
if you find that they have great taste, Tig, and you're like, wow, I'm attracted to this person, it doesn't matter what their balls look like, you're going to be like, let's go. Mm-hmm. But if you're like, no way, Jose, I can't even imagine snuggling up to those balls, that's the litmus test.
Okay, wait. Maybe I don't know how straight snuggling happens.
Yep.
But are you putting your face?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right in there.
All right.
And also, it's got to pass this, like, it, is it fresh?
Okay. Listen, we need to take a break, and we will be back to discuss snuggling up.
No, we're going
to
move on.
We'll be back to discuss David Geffen at some point. Mm. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back.
We're back.
On Tig and Cheryl, True Story, a hard-hitting documentary film podcast with our guest, Rachel Harris from Sister, Sister.
Sister, Sister.
That's like the time I showed up to a gig in Florida to my own show, and the venue had put out a poster of me that said, "From Garfunkel and Oates," which is my friend's my friend's TV show that I appeared on for 2 minutes. I've been nominated for Grammys, an Emmy.
Oh, my God.
Garfunkel and Oates on IFC, cancel after one season. That's where you know me from, folks.
Okay, listen. So back to David. David was very driven.
Yes.
He got a job in the mailroom at
William Morris.
William Morris. Yep. And he didn't know what he was doing. He lied on his application, said he got a degree from UCLA.
I thought it was fascinating when he said he just wanted to be a part of the entertainment industry, and a casting person said, "Well, do you have any talent?" And he's like, "No, I don't have any talent whatsoever." And they're like, "You should be an agent." I was like, "Oof, that is
that
harsh.
Was tough.
We have a wonderful agent.
That's but rude to agents everywhere."
Is it my same agent? Is it the same agent I have?
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, we all have the same. Oh, okay. Adorable. Not that you're usually adorable, but he just is really a looker.
Oh, that should not come up when you're describing an agent.
I know, but
looks are
he's
irrelevant.
Smart. It is irrelevant. It's like a bonus.
I mean, he is attractive. Okay, listen. David, so he's in, so now David Geffen is in the mailroom. He sees this other guy get fired, and he said, why did you get fired? And the guy said, because I lied on my application. Now, David's thinking, holy shitballs, I lied on my application. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to get to the mailroom earlier than anybody every day to intercept the letter that says I do not have a degree from UCLA. So he would start coming in every day before everybody, sort all the mail. So he started looking like he was going above and beyond and working harder than everybody.
No, he wasn't.
Well, he wasn't. He was. But well, for self-serving.
He's lying, but yeah. But he wasn't
lying. He did need to sort the mail so he could find the letter. And no, he found it.
No, he didn't go to college.
He wasn't showing up early to work hard for William Morris.
But in doing so, he was working harder than everyone else. And he found the letter. He seen it open. He changed it, saying, yes, he did have a degree from UCLA.
That is a hard worker.
It's ballsy. It's balls. Well, that's it's balls. It's
deception, but that is balls. But it's one. It is. Yeah, it does take balls to be that deceptive.
And he started. But, oh, you know what else I thought was a
no?
David wanted to learn everything he could about being an agent. So when he was in somebody's room and there was a memo on someone's desk, he taught himself how to read it upside down. Mm. So he could read everything on the memo and take in all that information. So he always knew what everybody was doing.
Do you teach yourself to read upside down?
Yeah, no. I was going to say I'm familiar with the letters and I can flip them in my head. I don't know that I would teach
you know
myself.
What I just realized?
Oh, he's still dyslexic.
Yes.
Oh.
Maybe because he's dyslexic. Yeah. That was like a superpower that he. Yes. Oh, my God.
My mother-in-law can speak backwards.
Backwards?
Yeah. You can give her any sentence and she'll just read it backwards. And she'll say it backwards. She has no problem.
Wow.
She can read left to right. That's English language. Crazy. It's the craziest thing in the world.
David decided to go into the music business instead of the movies.
Okay.
And he was young. And the music business liked that he was young as young as the singers. And they thought, oh, he can relate to everybody. And this is great. He got drafted and did not want to go. And somebody said, if you check that you're homosexual, you will not. They won't
do. You have homosexual tendencies.
Tendencies.
Which I do, to be completely honest.
You what?
Yes. And I have dabbled.
Well.
and I am not sold on it.
We'll see how it goes. We will see. All this sexy talk of balls might just bring you back to our side because.
Yeah. Must it be your side versus my side?
No. Okay. It's fluid.
No, it's fluid.
We're all fluid.
It's fluid. We're all different.
Are you fluid?
I could be.
No, you couldn't.
I feel like I could.
You feel like you could date a woman? No. Rachel, you feel like. No. Rachel?
Well, when I was in college, when I was in college, I found out that my friend from growing up that lived right next door to me, who I love so much, Lisa Davidson.
Hey, Lizzie, hey. We went to the same. Lizzie or Leslie?
No, Lisa. You guys, but her, are you ready for this?
Of course.
Her middle name. Honest, swear to God, her name is Lisa Gay Davidson.
Oh, wow. My gosh. She invented the stuff.
She knew.
Uh-huh.
Okay. She invented the word.
And then she, when she came out when we were in college, and I was like, well, I grew up with her. I must be gay.
You thought so?
Oh, I did.
Proximity.
I did. And I was like, all right.
I guess I'm gay now.
I was like, that's what an idiot I am. That I was just like,
oh, I guess I'm gay. Huh.
Well, maybe. All right. And so I was like, I'm going to think about it and, like, see if I like women. Like, I literally was, like, at school and in theater classes. And it's a perfect place
check it out.
To check it out. So, just newsflash.
Yes. I didn't take to it.
I didn't take to it, but I'm happy I tried.
Oh, you did try. You gave it a whirl?
Not, like, a deep dive.
Okay.
But it was just, like, do I want to go out with this person? Do I want to make out with her?
You didn't give it a whirl. Yeah. Okay. Moving on.
All right. Okay.
Would you guys date each other?
No,
I don't think
so.
Hard.
Okay. Right.
No. That would be like incest. I feel like
that's weird.
It would be like weird.
Like dating your cousin.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry to bother you.
No, but it's fine.
So
she's
David,
very attractive.
Same.
Very pretty.
Very attractive. Well, but
Leslie's?
He did not get drafted.
Okay.
Because they said, you know.
And we're talking about David Geffen right now.
We're not talking about David Beckham.
I just wasn't sure where our conversation had gone at this point.
We have so much to get.
No, I know. Okay. Well, it's okay.
I know. All right. Okay, so he started as a
Are you the dramaturg for the podcast always? Like you're the
she doesn't
you're
listen.
The bullet.
Yes,
person.
Otherwise okay. Tig right. would be a disaster.
She's the color commentary, which I love.
She doesn't care about structure
or anything.
Oh wow, there's some nothing. Judgment in there.
I don't care about anything.
This is okay. This is kind of crazy.
Okay,
so David Geffen, he discovers this woman named Laura Nero.
Yeah,
and started a publishing company with her.
Mm-hmm.
And David worked out a deal with Clive Davis at Columbia Records, and David would do anything for Laura, including David was like, I will do anything for her. She's an artist.
Yeah.
We need to cultivate her voice. And this is what people loved about David Geffen. He really appreciated artists. Mm-hmm. And he, instead of, you know, other record labels or agents or whomever saying, oh, just record the song, he would find somebody and work with them and tell them how great they were and help them find their voice. And so with her, he would do anything for her. She said she wanted lilac-scented ink for her lyrics.
Yeah, of course. How else are you going to put out an album? It's on the, right. sleeve
yeah, on the
of
sleeve
of the
and
vinyl.
He did it.
Yeah.
And he did it.
He did it.
And he quit William Morris to manage Laura Nero.
Were you familiar with Laura Nero?
Not at all. And I'm still not. If you ask me, oh.
Never heard of her.
If you said, hey, what's a Nora Lira? What's her name?
Oh, boy. Not that.
And Laura, wow, you really are. Are you dyslexic?
On this show.
I'm definitely with numbers.
Because mm-hmm. you just said Nora Lira.
Yeah.
Oh, is that opposite?
And it's Laura Nero.
Yeah. Big Nero, fan. Big Nero. Fan.
Wait, had you heard of her?
Yeah, just as a songwriter. Oh. I wasn't familiar with her actual album releases. But what an incredible voice.
Yeah.
Yeah?
And also such a prolific songwriter that she wrote for the Eagles and for all of these different artists. That was crazy that it just took off when she just became the songwriter.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys are really spilling beans. I mean, I will just...
It's the
quickly.
Worst, Rachel.
When
she
do
yelled,
we get to share?
Yeah, I know. She decides.
I just
anytime
get to
I,
share.
You know, we will do documentaries where the word murder is in the title, and then I mention that somebody's dead. She's like, oh, you just ruined the whole show.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's in the title.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bozo. Laura's record flopped, but David was bound and determined to make her a star, to show everybody how talented it was. She was. So he had her write songs for other
artists. Yes, we established that.
Cheryl, it kind of reminds me of like when you wouldn't give up hope and you had your ex-husband sign me and you took me to every agency in town and you were like trying to get – you got me a job on In the Motherhood and just nothing was really taking.
Oh, my God, we remember how that went.
And
but I was no David Geffen. No. I was like, eh, well, I tried.
Yeah, yeah, you tried. And everybody kept saying, no, thank you. No, thank you. We're good.
No.
But here we are with a podcast.
Oh, my gosh. Reaching tens of people at a time.
Yes.
So now he helped her become successful.
Mm-hmm.
They started a company together called Tuna Fish Records because that's what she would say. She was just, it doesn't matter.
She loved eating tuna fish.
She had to pay for
There's
lesbian
no,
alert.
No, Rachel, we're not going to do that on this show.
Okay.
Already happened.
I feel like it's already happened.
Yeah, it did.
I was like, I think that.
There's editing. We could edit out, but.
Yes. And then they sold the company for $4 million to Clive Davis. I beg for editing on this show, and it never happened. David signed Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Uh-huh.
Did you always think it was Stills?
Not once.
Crosby, Stills?
Not once. But this is also coming from the friend of mine that thought my name was Tig. What did you think my name was until a week ago?
Notoro.
Notoro.
Which, see, now that I said it again, it might stick back to that.
Look at Rachel's face. She's stunned.
So
I'm a household name.
Yeah. Crosby, Stills,
and Please welcome
Nash.
Tig Notaro. I would stand backstage and wait until my name was properly called. Okay.
And sometimes not happen. Okay, so David.
Also, I know I'm not a household name. In some houses.
Notaro, like a sushi or
He
something?
Teamed up with Elliot now. Roberts.
Hey, Elliot, hey.
Hey, Elliot, hey.
I know that David and Elliot are listening to us right now.
Yeah, for sure.
And
remember to subscribe, David. Just click subscribe.
And they repped, Elliot was repping Joni Mitchell and Neil Young, mm-hmm. and they teamed up together. They started their own company. Huge success.
You know, I used to be told that I looked like Jackson Browne years ago.
Oh,
I've never been told I look like a woman. It's always Jackson Browne, Tom Cruise, Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey? No. He should be so lucky. No.
Jim Carrey.
Oh, Adam Scott. Adam Scott.
Oh, that's a sweet compliment.
That is.
Okay. He's a
man. Yeah. I'm just saying that there has not been one woman.
No, Gene Triplehorn.
You don't get Ally Sheedy in high art.
Oh, high art.
What about Joan Baez?
No, but thank you. She's 85. Which, speaking of ages.
It was the salt and pepper hair.
How ages, incredible. Yeah. Thank you for noticing the salt and pepper hair. How crazy that David Geffen, he's like almost 80.
Yeah. I feel like he is sort of ageless. He's like, you know what? Like when you look at Larry David, you look at old pictures of Larry David, he has looked like he was 70 since he was 30.
And
it's like, oh, wow.
What a compliment.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not saying it's good or bad.
Well, I wouldn't say it's good when you're 70 that you look, or when you're 30 that you look 70. We have to take a break and right back.
Oh my God, we've got to get to some information, seriously.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Of Jackson Browne.
Ooh, that was a good transition.
Yes.
Well, how did you come up with such a thing?
So David Geffen, mm-hmm. Jackson Browne sent David Geffen a demo.
Mm-hmm.
He had a glossy 8x10 and a song. And when David saw Jackson Browne, he was like, this guy's going to be no good because he's too good looking.
Mm-hmm.
And then he listened to a song and it was amazing. And he really wanted to produce his song. He couldn't find anybody to do it. And then somebody said, well, if you like him so much, you do it. So David said, okay. And he started
Classic
his own label.
David. Classic David.
Classic
fine,
David.
Fine, I'll do it.
Fine, then I'll do it. Great. Started his own label called Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
and it represented a refuge for artists. So David Geffen was so passionate about his artists that he would even have them like sleeping on his, well, I don't know if they were on his couch.
We don't know where in the house they were asleep. But we can just say in general, they could stay with him. And he would counsel them and be a good friend to them. And
yes,
you know, but yeah, we don't know what room they were in. I don't know that it's important.
But the point is, he was going above and beyond and really taking care of these artists. Oh, and then.
Yeah.
What?
Okay, are you ready for this?
No.
Aiden. Mm-hmm. If you don't want some beans to be spilled, you would need to stop it down.
But if you do spill beans, vacuum them up, Aiden.
That's right. That is right.
Laura Nero, right? The one person that he did all of this stuff for. He did everything
he
for
cooked,
this.
He cooked. He cleaned.
He did everything for her.
Yes.
And he thought, at least I'm going to have Laura Nero
This is my new...
But she didn't. She signed to Columbia.
Oh, you cannot wait.
I know. I was holding back, too. But she left him and went with another manager.
You guys could not wait.
And it was soul-crushing for her. Okay. For him.
Well, everyone steal my thunder. Yeah, that's right.
Because he left her and it was like the end of the innocence.
So what do you think happened? They offered her more money or...
I don't
know. She needed some separation. I don't know. I mean, why do you do that?
Why did she?
I didn't do it.
You guys, did I also tell you that I started watching this today and then I was like, oh, I've seen this before.
Oh, that happens to us every week.
And I watched it.
One of us is like, oh, yeah, I've seen this.
Oh, yeah.
Stephanie will be like, we saw this. I'm like, oh, I've never even heard of it.
And okay. I do want to talk about the Tinder swindler, how it made me so mad at the end.
Okay, that's a different episode. Different.
Just absolutely gotta, so angry.
Okay, stay focused. Everybody, stay focused. So David was devastated. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time in his life. Mm. He said that was the most painful thing that had happened to him.
At that point.
At that point. And he cried. If I hear one more person spill beans...
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
If there's two of you that can't wait
What
to
are you
going to
do, balls?
Yeah, what are you going to... Ladies and gentlemen, balls.
An opening for Tig Notaro tonight is balls.
Okay. So he was devastated.
Yeah.
And around this time, Rachel Harris... He met Cher.
Yeah.
That's right. He met Cher.
And fell in love with her. And she with him.
But what I love is that Cher was like, this guy's great. He's so smart. He's so talented. Gay as balloons. But this
Did
is
she
great.
Say gay as balloons?
Yeah, she said those exact words.
Wait. How is it that Cheryl and I both missed gay as balloons?
Because that seems like something...
You guys, I don't know. I had subtitles.
This is the new podcast that I'm going to start. Gay as balloons.
Do you guys want to hear Cher talk about David?
Always. Yes,
I do because I love it. Okay. I love it.
You love Cher, right?
Well, no? No, I'm not that. But I like
if
that.
If I could turn I actually back love David time.
Oh, you guys.
If I could find a way. Okay. Let's listen to Cher.
I like that. She saw in him this brilliant, funny,
but you don't love Cher?
That has taste. I love Cher.
Let me tell you how much I love Cher.
Okay.
Okay.
Not when Cher dies, but if Cher dies.
Right, because she may not.
You're right. I demand that people weekend at Bernie her and just continue to wheel her around.
She would like that. I think she would like that. Hey, Cher, hey.
Hey, Cher, hey. I think that Cher, Dolly Parton, there are certain people.
I was going to say, you like her more than Dolly or like equally?
You don't have to compare people.
Yeah, this is like, you know, which child do you love more?
That's true. Right. Comparison is the great stealer of joy.
Yeah. And so we just need
somebody to start working on it. Somebody needs to start thinking about that. Okay.
We can. Why don't we just do it?
Well, I don't have time.
Okay.
Yes, you do.
To figure out how to pickle Cher.
Yeah, you do.
I can't.
I have time to pickle Cher.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you get back from Puerto Rico, you have time. Okay.
Okay. Let's listen to Cher talk about David.
We were just crazy about each other, and we just spent all of our time together. He had these beautiful, beautiful eyes and lovely curly hair. Just adorable. He was the most loving, I don't care what you've heard about him, boyfriend in the world.
It was funny. I mean, it was the odd couple. It really was the Hollywood odd couple. There's been a few odd couples, and that's definitely up there amongst them.
I mean, to be fair, I feel like Elton John and his husband are kind of an odd couple.
Completely. And also, I don't like that he says that, like, he's got judgment when he's saying it, like, ew. And I'm like, you're an ew.
Oh.
Oh, whoa.
Whoa. Those are fighting words.
To I know. Elton?
But I don't
Wait,
like that.
You think Elton is
I
ew?
Think the judgment felt with David and Cher made me.
You don't like Elton?
No, I like Elton John. I just don't like that he said that.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that was nice.
Because you're thinking, look, when you love someone, you love them. Who
you
cares?
Love
it doesn't
someone.
Matter if they're yes. straight or gay, or what they look like, what their orientation is. It's like love is love.
Yeah.
Am I True. Right?
No, you're absolutely right.
Okay, you guys. And so then they stayed together for 18 months, Cher and David, which is shocking to me. They lived together. What was that like at night?
Why I mean, at night? How is it in the morning?
Are you meaning sexually?
Yeah.
Like, did they have sex? I'm sure they did.
They must have. They're, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
What do you mean?
I don't know. It just
then they like, just would have been best friends that like.
They might. Right.
She said he was my boyfriend and he said she was my girlfriend. So that.
Yeah. That's.
They weren't like we were just
it's
best
not,
friends.
Why? Yeah. It's hey, not like
does
if you.
Know why they broke up?
Probably because she was like.
Oh, he's gay.
Let's go to commercial.
I love that we were all know. Super stumped,
I know.
Though, by that.
There's
that,
like, no way to know.
People break up. I mean.
That's true. People break up.
Maybe she fell for Greg Allman, you know?
Right? Oh, of course.
That is a game changer. Okay, to go from David Geffen to Greg Allman.
Listen, look at her track
her
record.
Lineup.
I mean, she had
I love
Sunny.
Her lineup. Okay, listen.
Okay, so moving on.
So they go, they break up. And here's the next thing that happens in David's life. That's fascinating.
Can somebody call in and tell us how that happens? I know it's recorded.
In 1976, he was diagnosed with bladder cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Bladder
In 76?
He was young. He was like
33. Wait, why are you saying it like bladder cancer didn't exist in 76, Rachel? You're like, in 76? I mean...
No, I meant like
nobody had
no,
bladders.
No, I think I meant like
then.
76, like he was so
nobody
young.
Had bladders.
Nobody had bladders in
Not in
the
mid 70s.
You guys, they didn't. They didn't have bladders. Cancer wasn't invented in the 70s.
But he was so young, and it was odd that he had cancer. And it affected his life, the way he viewed everything. He learned lessons about what was important to him, who was important to him.
That'll happen.
That'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
Take notes.
Yeah.
Why? Because I have a bladder?
Yep.
Because you have a bladder.
Because you have a bladder.
And so after 3 years, he found out he was misdiagnosed. Is that crazy?
How does that happen? How?
For 3 years. Why 3 years? It's like.
Did he not go back for a checkup? For 3 years?
I don't know.
Because I remember when I had cancer, I was so out of sorts with so many things that I wasn't on top of stuff. And once I had my surgery and I left the hospital, I was like, okay. And my doctor said, I feel like I got all the cancer. I was like, great. And then I just went back to my life. And then I was talking to my doctor and she said, and what does your oncologist say about this or that? And I was like, oh, I... haven't been going to an oncologist. And she was like, what? And so I could see how, you know.
Right. You.
You get the diagnosis. But he would have gotten treatment. Like.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, I guess my point doesn't really make sense.
No, it does. Because it's like, what was he doing for three years?
But also in the 70s, though, it's like that thing where you had to, there weren't cell phones and you didn't have your schedule right in front of you on the. I mean, he was a really successful businessman at that point. But
wait, I think
but,
people
wait, so he might have missed
got treatment for cancer before cell phones.
People had Rolodexes
and just common sense.
Okay, After 3 years, okay. He found out he did not have cancer. And he decided he should embrace the fact that he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
Which was interesting. Because I thought that that was always established.
Well, I think as he was saying, he was never in the closet. But right. He had never made a public
statement or anything like that.
And
so,
and also, you might be considering the more recent years of David Geffen. Of like, you know,
mid-90s. I wasn't alive in the 70s.
Right. You didn't have a bladder.
Right. Okay, you guys, I'm going to tell you what happened. Okay.
All right, do
spill the beans.
Oh, this was crazy.
Okay.
At some point in his career, he's now representing Neil Young in the 80s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Neil Young is putting out this crazy music that has like, remember the voice alter? Like you put in a...
Oh, yeah. What is that like called? It's got like, the, like when...
A kazoo?
When Cher sings like... when like, Cher sings that song about like, do you believe?
No, yeah. but
like vocal tune, like
yeah. Yes. No, but it was more like, remember Eric Clapton, like, do you feel like I feel?
That wasn't Eric Clapton.
No, who was it?
Peter Frampton.
Okay, Peter sorry. Frampton. Excuse me, world.
I'm sorry.
Peter Frampton.
I was alive in the 70s with a bladder, so.
Yeah. Didn't he do the weird...
Yeah.
You sing through a weird thing, and it makes your voice...
Take your time.
Oh.
Anyway, there's a word for it, I'm sure. But Neil Young put out this music that was totally, totally 80s. Like, weird, and David's music label was failing, and David Geffen sued Neil Young because he was not putting out music...
For the mainstream.
Characteristic... Of Neil Young. Young.
Yeah.
And Neil Young.
The voice of Neil Young. And he's like, I am.
And Neil
my own
Young
voice.
Was like, yeah, what the?
Yeah.
And so.
And that's what I didn't understand about this documentary. What was this new present day Neil Young and their friends? And he agreed to come in.
I know.
This was the part where I didn't understand the layers of it because even. With Jackson Browne, didn't he used to date Daryl Hannah?
Yeah.
And then there was some sort of scuffle there. There was some scuffle or big nasty breakup between Daryl Hannah and Jackson Browne. I don't know the details.
Mm-mm.
But then now isn't Neil Young with Daryl Hannah?
I think so, yeah.
And then Jackson Browne was talking about Neil all casual. And then I'm like, is this old footage? Like, I don't know what's happening, but... It was interesting.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
And they are all in this documentary.
Yes.
Talking about it. Yeah. And Neil Young was like, I can't believe I'm being sued for singing songs that I wrote and I want to sing.
Yeah, because obviously David Geffen is okaying this documentary and the contents of it if he's in it. Because he's David Geffen and there's no way there's going to be something in his documentary.
Right.
You know, so I that's where I'm left going, I want to know more.
Yeah. I know.
Because he's not going to sign off on it not being disparaging.
Yeah.
So then David Geffen went into the film business.
Yeah.
And his first hit was Risky Business. And I thought this was interesting. Did you?
I don't know.
Because Risky Business... was supposed to end where Tom Cruise's character did not get into the Ivy League school, but did not get into Princeton.
Yeah.
And David Geffen saw that and said, no, he needs to get in.
Yeah.
You can't have that be the ending.
Yeah.
And they had a big fight and David Geffen won and he's like, reshoot the ending. And then it became this huge success. Okay. And then he goes back to music. I know I'm skipping. And then he sells his company.
Yes.
For
$550
million. But it was really more like $750 million because it was the shares in his company.
Mm-hmm.
And he became a billionaire by 1995, which is crazy.
It's not too bad.
No.
It's not. But
now he's broke.
But he could have.
He's so broke.
He could have called it. And just relaxed for the rest of his life.
Not our David.
Not David Geffen.
No.
Classic David.
The fact, too, that when he came out, he said, "You're only as sick as your secrets," to me, sounds like he, somewhere in there, he also went to rehab and got sober.
Oh, really?
Whoa, sober?
Have you heard that he was doing stuff?
I don't know, but that stuck out to me, though. Like, the lingo, that's like a very... You're only as sick as your secrets is a very big program thing. Like, if you're in a 12-step program, I feel like it
wasn't mentioned.
Because when he came out and when he said, "I'm gay and I don't want to keep it a secret anymore. You're only as sick as your secrets." I was like, oh, maybe he got sober in there somewhere.
Well, that's what we do on this podcast. We just
speculate.
We speculate.
No real knowledge.
We speculate after hearing all of the information.
You're welcome.
Still speculate.
You guys.
Okay, I just do want to tell this quick story.
Yes, of course. Don't edit yourself.
Because we forgot to say that, you know, if we could turn it back.
I know, I was right with you.
At one point when Geffen was representing Crosby. Mm-hmm. What's Crosby's first name?
Steels and Nash.
Steels. With Crosby. And Crosby said to
David
Geffen,
Crosby.
David Crosby? Mm-hmm. No. Is that his name? He said, yes. I need you to pick up an envelope and bring it to me, you know, fly it to the theater. And David was like, what's in it? And he's like, don't worry about it. And he's like, no, well, it's not your business. And he said, it actually is some of my business. I like that.
Yeah.
I want to say that. If somebody says
exactly
it's none of your business.
Let's just say you're paraphrasing.
No, because I remember him saying, because he said, it's none of your business. This is what David Geffen said. No. David Geffen said.
Because you were there.
That Crosby said, it's none of your business. And David Geffen said, it's some of my business.
Well, I know. You already said that.
Okay.
Do you want to say it again?
Yeah. I know, but why are you repeating it again? Because you said, no, he didn't.
I thought he said, it is my business.
He said, it's some of my business.
All right. I'm going to fall on the sword for this
one.
I don't care.
I like that. Praise.
It seems like it. You've said it a few times in a row.
So he goes to the airport.
Uh-huh.
Geffen.
Yep.
Goes through security.
Yep.
They find ayahuasca on him and they arrest him and put him in jail.
Mm.
And then
he gets out on bail.
Go ahead. And goes to-
He gets out on bail. He flies to Los Angeles. He goes to David Crosby. He shows up and he's like, where's my envelope? He goes, I don't have it. And he said, you don't have my drugs.
After he told him, not only do I not have it, I was in jail.
I was in jail.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
And he said, I'm not bringing you drugs. And then he did. Okay. Anyway, that's just a life lesson to people. Listen to your gut. If somebody asks you to fly with an envelope and you don't know what's inside it, or if they ask you to fly with drugs, just say no.
That's the new catchphrase. If someone asks you to fly with drugs, just say no.
Just say no.
Please, someone make that T-shirt for us. If someone asks,
if someone asks you to fly with drugs,
just say no.
Just say no.
Or just say
and then put like,
no, and then do it, and then go to jail. Is the other shirt?
Jail, and then go back.
Yeah.
And say
maybe on the back of the T-shirt.
Your drugs. I went to jail, and then. The person says, where are my drugs?
This is a long shirt.
It's a nightgown. But you know what I want to say before we cut out of here that is incredible?
Yes.
Aside from all of the incredible stuff, I'm a you know big music fan, love getting all this information.
Yes.
I just think it's phenomenal what he did for AIDS and HIV awareness and the money he donated. And it's so incredible. It's so incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So when he had a friend named Michael who died of AIDS at 44, and David Geffen really spearheaded a movement, seems like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where he said, we have to do everything we can. And he was a big supporter and got everybody really involved. And God, that was a tough time.
Very philanthropic. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you guys, in 2010, David was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and he buys Jack Warner's mansion. Honestly, I don't know who Jack Warner is.
Probably Warner Brothers.
One of the Warner Brothers. Are you ready for final thoughts?
Yeah, but before we do final thoughts, I can't help but wonder, did David find love? Did he find a partner?
I know. It's such a good question. Yeah.
Thank you.
There's no way to know.
There's no way to know.
All again, right. Let's just speculate. Yeah. Like, who do we, if we had to think of somebody that we wanted David Geffen
to be set up with.
I might set him up with my assistant. My assistant really, he's curious about dating somebody famous that has cash, that has a yacht. Mm. And that feels very David Geffen to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they would grow old together, but my assistant, he's handsome and
yeah. And they might have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs someone to have fun with, but really connect with. I'm talking about both your assistant and David.
I've never been looking for somebody with a yacht. Like, it's not ever been something I'm looking for.
I just want somebody who has a job.
Oh. That's all low. You're looking for? That's
the
it.
The bar is very low.
Like a really good job.
Okay.
A good job. Okay, listeners.
What if they drove the yacht?
Okay, yeah.
A yacht driver.
Yeah.
A driver. Is there a name? A captain.
There's no way to know.
I'd like a captain.
Okay.
I'd like a captain.
Let's go to final thoughts.
This is my boyfriend, the
yes.
captain.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Ladies, did you cry?
I didn't.
I did not cry.
I did not cry. Who were you attracted to?
Well.
Oh, well, this is a no-brainer for me.
Oh. Say it.
I was attracted to David Geffen.
What?
Always.
Wow, I did not see that coming.
I thought he was so cute. Like, not that he's unattractive now, but like his younger years, when he was a little like Bob Dylan looking.
A little nerdy.
Yeah, kind of like just the curly hair.
And cute nerd.
Yeah.
But it's also the stories and the...
balls?
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, yeah. I thought he was like, look, I love cute little Jewish men.
Okay.
But Jackson Brown is pretty cute.
Well, see, now you're kind of saying, I love the way I look because you look exactly like Jackson Brown.
But I also love a younger Cher.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wowie wow.
You know who I was really drawn to?
Hmm.
Who?
I don't know his name. But who is the lead singer of Guns N' Roses?
Axl Rose.
Yeah, Axl Rose in this. I was like, oh, man.
You that's like him in his bicycle shorts?
That's very on-brand.
Yes, yes. The bicycle shorts and the hair.
Wait, you like the long hair? I thought you didn't like long hair on guys.
Well, I don't, but I mean, if you were transporting me back to the 80s.
Tallahassee.
Tallahassee back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And Axl Rose walked into Baskin-Robbins.
Put a pair of sunglasses on him backwards and flip-flops, and she's like,
I'd be like,
boom.
Whoa. Hello.
All right, you guys. That's all for this week's episode. Next week, we are going to talk about The Mole Agent, which you can watch on Hulu.
Okay.
Before we go, should we read some true fan mail?
Yes.
This is from Megan. Hey,
Megan. Hey,
Megan.
Hey.
Hey. Dear Tig and Cheryl, first, Tig, I'm so sorry you got locked in a hotel bathroom. I used to feel silly for always bringing my phone into the bathroom with me, but no more of that. It's for protection. Second, Cheryl, I have very ugly feet. Not that you have ugly feet.
Bunyan.
But you understand the struggle. Big. I think your character on Suburgatory, often they're pre-corns. And I think of your character on Suburgatory. Yeah, there was a lot of talk about my feet on Suburgatory. And I thank you for continuing to give visibility to unsightly foot issues.
You're such a hero. You're a regular David Geffen.
I'm a David Geffen to the Bunyan community.
Oh.
I love the podcast so much. Please do it again and again. Sincerely, Megan Snirkbull.
Can I just tell you? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask Rachel something, and she's not going to know the answer to it, and she's going to be humiliated.
Okay.
Oh, my God. This is horrifying. Okay.
Rachel, are you a snirkbull?
I am a snirkbull. I'm not a snorkel.
No?
I know it's probably something from your podcast.
Tig, are you a snorkel?
Damn. You're
oh,
damn.
Oh, God, she doesn't even know it. Okay, somebody asked me if I'm a snorkel.
Are you, Cheryl, a snorkel?
You
a snorkel?
You bet your sweet ass I am.
Oh, okay.
God, you guys.
Oh, what is a snorkel from?
It's a long story.
We don't have that.
All right.
But can I just tell you, Cheryl?
Yes.
I don't know if you remember this because there's no possible way to, even though I've told you this before, that at one of your parties, Stephanie walked up overhearing me telling somebody at your party that I was on Two Broke Girls with you. That I had guest starred on that show.
Yeah.
And Stephanie was like, it was suburgatory.
I like that you're braggadocious about Two Broke Girls. And they're like, mm. Rachel, thank you so for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Rachel, thanks, it was great to see you. And I have to tell you, I think unless it's something that happened on just the side of me and Stephanie in our world, but I feel like were the four of us supposed to go out before the pandemic and then we had to cancel or something?
Yes.
Or maybe it was something where Stephanie was just like, we should all four go out sometime.
Well, I think it was because we were at that
fundraiser.
Oh, yeah. Right before the pandemic. And yes. I think maybe on the way home or that night or something.
Yeah, we were like, no, we got to.
But Stephanie brings that up all the time because she was just, she's always like, that would be the most fun night out.
Well, let's
it
do it.
It would be the most fun. And also.
Do you have anything you want to promote?
Just my secret project with Cheryl Hines. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, this is coming up Monday, right? So Wednesday, I'm on.
I can see your voice,
but I can't feel my face with Cheryl Hines on Wednesday night.
On Fox.
On Fox.
Mm-hmm. Congrats.
So I'm a panelist.
How about you, Tig?
I'm on tour. I'm in the great state of Florida, but I'll probably be gone. But yeah, I'll be in Dallas, San Antonio. I'll be in New York City, Chicago, Minneapolis, Madison.
Are you going to be in Ohio at all?
I just already came through. You got to listen to Chicken People.
Chicken.
Listen to the episode of Chicken People, and you will enjoy yourself. All right. Do you have anything to promote, Cheryl?
No. Samesies. Okay.
Okay. Want to do it again? Should we do it again?
Yes, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Willett, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Willett, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.